Roll Tide, all right, yeah. Nick, I got you. Okay. We got that out of the way very quickly. It is such an honor to be here this week, to share just celebrating what it is to mean to be the people of God. To be here, and I think one of the, Father Eric can also kind of reflect on this. You know, I'm 3 years and 2.5 years probably into the priesthood, and just to one of the great joys I think about being a priest is people ask me, why do you love being a priest? I love being a priest so much. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I did other things before I was a priest, but to be a priest is to celebrate God's presence with his people. And to be involved in people's lives and to celebrate God's presence with us. And that's one of the things I really enjoy the most about being a priest. And that's why I love doing something like this. This is the first time I've ever done a parish mission. So Father Eric can rebuild this parish after I destroy it, okay? And destroy your faith. If we haven't done that already, we're about to. But we'll see how it goes. You know, just celebrating God's presence among us as a priest is something that I truly enjoy. And hopefully over the next course of the course of the next few nights, I'll kind of explain, and hopefully we can all draw closer to the Lord together, and we can celebrate God truly in our midst, in the midst of even turbulent times, which many of us have gone through, will go through, from the mountains to the valleys. God walks with us, and we'll go through that. So I'd just like to begin with an opening prayer. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, we thank you for calling us together tonight as your family of faith. Your gift of warmth and laughter is proof of your presence among us. Help us to recognize that you are with us on the mountaintops and in the valleys of our daily lives equally. May we grow in peace and joy that come only from you. We ask you to help us not take ourselves so seriously all the time, that in doing so, we may take you seriously, the true author of all that is good, the true author of all that is true, the true author of all that is beautiful. And we ask all of these things through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is sent amongst us to share in the human condition in all things but sin. We ask all of these things through his mighty name. Amen. Just want to give a open things with a scripture reading from the prophet Zechariah from chapter 9, from verse 9, beginning on verse 9, as the prophet says, "Rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. See that your king shall come to save you. A just savior is he, meek and riding on an ass, on a colt, on the foal of an ass. He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow shall be banished, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." The word of the Lord. And I chose that reading because God comes to us in many ways. He comes to us in our experiences. He comes to us in our joys. He comes to us in our sorrows. He comes to us, on, like I said, on the mountaintops and in the valleys. Sometimes our ability to recognize him is kind of banished a little bit. It's kind of lost because we just are sinful human people, and we don't recognize God's presence among us. And I kind of chose that reading because I couldn't help but laugh as you read it. I think it's one of the most funny things ever you read this kind of during the Advent, your king shall come to you, your king shall come to you. How shall he come to you? He's going to come to you riding on in an ass. And I kind of have an eighth grade sense of humor. When I heard that, I was like, he's going to come to us riding in on an ass. Well, not much has changed in 2,000 years. He's going to come to us continually riding on an ass. If you look at kind of the church today, in the midst of the darkness that a lot of us experience, even in the hierarchy of the church, Christ will come to us riding in on an ass. But it's a celebration that Christ continually comes to us. And I'll give you a little background, okay, in case you can't tell by my accent, in case I was here, you know, a few years ago, people were like, where are you from, Father? I'm from Alabama. Forrest Gump land. Bayou LeBattery. Actually, Bayou LeBattery is a real town where Bubba Gump is from. I'm not far from there. It's a shrimping village. But I come based, you know, I'm a priest from that area. And one of the things I really enjoy about being a Southerner is we have a slow pace of life. Okay? What you see on the movies is not always that far from far-fetched. Depict Southerners as slow talking. They depict us as, you know, whatever, kind of just going with the flow. That's not far from the truth in reality. Like I said, I grew up in a town of Prattville, Alabama, which is right outside of Montgomery. It's a town of about 35,000 people. Back when I grew up, it was a town of about 15,000 people. Typical Southern town. Didn't have much going on. Friday nights, we rode around the main strip. In the 90s, you rode around the circle. You came back out. You hung out with your friends. You sat in parking lots. You talked. You got back in the truck. You drove around some more. You waved at your friends. You did that for 4 or 5 hours. And then you went back home. Southern lifestyle. And I was thinking about it because that's often where, now that I'm older, when I say older, I say 38, that's 20 years ago, that's often where I encountered God the most. It was in relationships that I built. All of us, I think, can reflect on that. We look back on our times together, and it's in those moments that we shared so much laughter, we shared so much joy, we shared so much of God's gift and presence among us, that we actually, you don't realize that as a teenager, but when you look back on it, you say, God is with us in those moments. Like I said, I grew up, I was baptized a Catholic. 1980, April 3rd, I was baptized. I was baptized by one of the most holy Irish priests I've ever met, Father Paddy Marr. We're a missionary diocese. We had a lot of Irish priests. And I often thought, you know, people ask, "When have you ever thought about being a priest?" And I said, well, I can't be a priest. I'm not Irish. I thought you had to speak up in an Irish accent to be a priest. But I was actually, like I said, baptized by one of the most holy men I've ever known. He was there. He was there in our family's life. He was there when my grandfather had a heart attack when I was 4 months old. He was a Baptist man. He was my mother's side. He was a Baptist, which is prevalent in Alabama. He was a Baptist man, and he went and visited my grandfather every single day in the hospital until he passed away. And my grandmother, to her dying day 3 years ago, mentioned, every time I saw her, have you seen Father Paddy Marr? Have you seen Father Paddy Marr? I said, I saw him recently. He's retired. He's living in a parish in southeast Alabama. She said, well, always say hello to him because he was such a joyful man. And I think all of us can relate to that. He brought such joy to the priesthood. He brought such joy to the faith, and it was infectious. And he did what a priest was supposed to do. Like I said, growing up in Prattville, in very Protestant Alabama, like I said, I went to high school with 2,100 students, public school in Alabama, okay? I was one of 25 Catholics, maybe, in a school of 2,100. Yeah, I went to school with the Protestants. I went to school with the Baptists, the Methodists, the Evangelicals. And very quickly, I got attacked a lot for my Catholic faith. Didn't really have much of an understanding of it. Didn't really care to have much of an understanding of it. They would tell me things, oh, you believe this and this and this. You worship Mary, you worship statues. You worship, maybe we do, I don't know. But I didn't have an understanding of the beauty and the joy that is our Catholic faith. So what happens, and I'll speak on this a little bit more the next few nights, how I went through some dark times when I speak through finding God in forgiveness, finding God in suffering. I went through some dark times in college. I did what a lot of kids do. Probably you got kids, you probably got grandchildren who are going through the same things in a dark time in the church, okay? But I fell away very quickly from the faith when I went off to college. I suffered greatly in my 20s. I didn't have an understanding of what it is that is beauty and the truth. And when I decided, hey, life is not going the way I turned, it was in the joy of community, the joy of laughter, the joy of fellowship, the joy of worshiping the true God, that I found everything that we hold most sacred as Catholics. A joy of community. The Catholic Church saved my life from a path of destruction. God's grace saved my life. And this is why I want to begin this night with this reflection on finding God and a sense of humor, because it is in our laughter and our jokes, the people I shared with, that I truly found happiness and the truth of the faith. And it came very simply. I remember one night as I sat in my dorm room saying, I'm missing something. I'm missing the truth that is God's love of us. I don't know where to find it. I don't know where to see God. I don't know where I should begin. And it was after 2 years of priesthood, I went to confession over the summer to a friend of mine, priest, and he challenged me. He said, this is kind of how I came up with this topic as I talked with Lori Hamilton and Nancy as we were beginning this parish mission. What are you going to talk about? What do you want to talk about? Where do we find God just in our daily lives, in our daily struggles, in our joys, in our happiness? And the 14th Sunday of Ordinary Time last year gave me a starting point. As I read today, see, your King shall come to you, a just Savior is he. See, your King shall come to you, a just Savior is he. Because in the summertime as a priest, Father Eric knows this, he's got a school, I'm at a parish, and I'm telling you, the parish I'm at mirrors Our Lady of Perpetual Help almost to a T. Roughly the same amount of families, roughly the same amount of problems. We got a school, roughly the same amount of students, K through 8. In the summer as a priest, things tend to slow down a little bit. You go from one appointment to another, meetings to meetings to meetings. You got to go from this school, you got to visit the classrooms, you got to do this, you got to do this. All of a sudden, the 1st of June, things stop and you have time. I began to think a little bit. And I managed to get some rest and I managed to pray. And like I said, the priest friend of mine asked me, reflect, where is God present in your life? And I started to think, over 2 years as a priest, I keep track, mass intentions. God's very present. And every day I walk behind this altar, I'm on mass number. Today I celebrated mass 1,188. I can see who I celebrated the masses for, the mass intentions. And I look back through this very often. Where I celebrated the masses: Texas, Nevada, California, my parish, blah, 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 my parents' home, Our Lady of Perpetual Help several times. I pull this out and I can reflect very openly. God is present in this moment. This moment, I am acting in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm celebrating the Eucharist for the people of God. And I can remember each and every one of these masses and the people there present. I can remember hearing confessions nonstop. I don't remember the sins. Of course, because sin is actually pretty boring. Unless you're hearing a second grader's confession, then you try to keep from laughing. You'd be amazed at the amount of kids that are mean to their pets. But celebrating the confessions, thousands and thousands of confessions, and absolving people. God's mercy is present in that moment, acting in the person of Jesus Christ. God is present there. Okay, I work in a high school as well. McGill Tulin Catholic High School in Mobile, Alabama, about 1,100 students. I'm chaplain to a lot of the sports teams because, like I said, I was a former baseball player, football player, so I understand their mindset. So I get to celebrate masses for the football teams on Friday mornings and our volleyball team and the state championships we've won. And celebrating God's presence in those moments of victory. And in even those moments of defeat, celebrating that. And the amount of people we brought in, the RCIA programs, Tuesday nights teaching the faith, and celebrating baptisms of them, celebrating confirmations, all of these things, very vivid. And that's the good times. I remember celebrating tragic times in people's lives as a priest. 3 months into the priesthood, getting called to the hospital where a Boy Scout troop was involved in a crash coming out of Louisiana. Archbishop Rohde calls me and says his home parish in Louisiana, where he was a priest, was going to Georgia. And a Boy Scout troop was involved in a tragic accident. 3 of the Boy Scouts were seriously injured. One had died. Being at the hospital when that happened, it was the most gut-wrenching thing I can remember as a priest. Celebrating, you know, going to the hospitals each and every day and celebrating God's healing gift in the sacrament of anointing of the sick, anointing people, talking with them, being there to give people their last rites. That God is with us in the good times and the bad. Things that immediately jump off the page that all of us know. And I reflected on that and I was filled with a lot of gratitude because God has allowed me to be involved in a very short time in all of these things. And as you can imagine, Father Eric knows being a priest is a very busy time. And I remember trying to come to grips with all of it, and then something very mundane happened, which is kind of what gave me the idea for the talk. Something mundane happened. I walked back upstairs one day, and I saw my laundry basket was full. I didn't have any other clothes to wear because I hadn't gotten around to doing laundry. And I learned this a long time ago, that I absolutely hate doing laundry. Any of you people out there that are doing laundry, you got a lot of kids that raised a lot of kids, God bless you. You should have a road named after you or something. Maybe a library. Any of you mothers out there, like my mother, you're saintly people for doing laundry several times a week, because I put it off for weeks to the point I didn't have anything left to wear. So I begrudgingly grabbed the basket in between of me doing important stuff as a priest, dragged it downstairs past my parish staff, drug it into the laundry room, and I was in a bad mood and took all of these black shirts and black slacks and everything I wear, dumped it all into the laundry, into the washing machine, threw some detergent in there, slammed the thing shut, and then I realized, hey, look, I got a few white shirts and a turquoise shirt, and I was like, oh, my God, now I got to do laundry all day. I can't wash this stuff with black stuff. That I got to do this laundry, and it's going to take away from me doing more important things. And I started throwing stuff around, just very frustrated. See, your king shall come to you, a just savior is he. And I thought, yeah, right. Not in the midst of doing laundry, he's not. So I went back to my office. I started looking on my bookshelf for commentaries to prepare for what I was going to preach, what I was going to talk about. And I ran across a book that was a favorite of mine in seminary. It was a very small book, and it was called The Practice of the Presence of God. And it was by a monk named Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was a Benedictine, which is, like I said, I studied under the Benedictines for years. And his duty was, they said, you were not smart enough to do much. You can't really teach the faith. You can't do much. Wash the dishes. Just wash the dishes, Lawrence. And he did it out of great love. Yet, he was an expert at doing activities for God alone. He didn't separate the spiritual from the mundane. He made everything spiritual. And it was one of the other monks that wrote about him said you would hear him walk by as he was washing the dishes. He was doing it out of great love for the Lord because that was his duty. And he said, you would hear him praying, O Lord of the dishes, be with me so that through these dishes your name is glorified. How many of us wash the dishes in that manner? And that's when it hit me when my laundry was in there, that how miserably I have failed in doing things for the greater glory of God just on a mundane task. How much I separate, how much probably most of us separate the spiritual from the everyday aspect of our lives. And I ran back to the washing machine at that point. It was hilarious, I'm sure, to everybody in the office. And I stood at the washing machine. I was like, dear Lord, I have failed you. Oh, Lord of the laundry. Through this pile of filth, may your name be glorified. And of course, we know the Prince of Peace entered the world in meek circumstances in a stable in Bethlehem. And he entered into Jerusalem very humbly. I think very often we're like the ancient Jews. We want a Messiah to reveal himself in a great show. We want some sign. We want some miracle. We want to experience the Lord God of hosts and all of his power and glory. We want concrete signs of his greatness. We want concrete signs in the mountaintops of our life, in the valley of our life, that we want Jesus to behave like the Messiah that we want. We want him to be the God of all glory, which he does, but it's not in a way we expect it. I think in doing so, can we look to encounter God in the daily task, in the interactions, in our daily life, in our families, in our workplace, when we're cutting the grass, helping kids with homework, just getting everyone out the door on a Sunday. As I sit in the presider's chair at a mass, and I see families coming in 5 minutes late, and I see the father plop down, looking totally defeated because he had a wife and three kids that he had to get out the door and get dressed. A mother looking totally defeated as she fought with her daughter, "What are you going to wear to mass?" That is an act of heroic struggle. It's in those moments that God reveals himself. Struggling to do the right thing. To pay the bills. How are we going to pay the mortgage this month? How are we going to put food on the table? God reveals himself in those moments. For you, for me, it's in those mundane moments that we become closer to God, that we truly prove ourselves as disciples, of followers of Jesus Christ. I think Jesus very often reveals himself hidden from the wise and the learned. He mentioned in the gospel, "You have revealed these things to the children. From the wise and the learned, you have kept hidden." It's in the beauty of those moments that we can truly say we walk with Christ. It's in our daily interactions, each and every day, that we come to know the beauty of Jesus Christ truly present. It's in doing the laundry for your family, the cooking for your family, the going to work for your family, that you come closer to Jesus Christ. And I mention these things as well because it's as a preface as to humor. How do we find God in humor? Much of it is rooted in Ignatian spirituality, the founder of the Jesuits. The Ignatian spirituality, where we, especially as men, we have an ability to compartmentalize things. So there's a beautiful thing on the internet, I forgot who it is. Men have the ability, there's a box for everything in our brains. There's a box for everything, and none of the boxes touch. So we have a box for our bank account, we have a box for our work, we have a box for fishing, we have a box for watching football, we have a box for spending, you know, time with our kids. None of these things are going to touch. We compartmentalize. We have a box that's like, okay, it's Sunday, it's time to go to Mass. What Christ is challenging us to do is to let these boxes become muddled. Let these boxes interweave. Let these boxes truly make God's presence in our lives real. And I think one of the things that happened, one of the things that I can reflect on in my own life is thinking about where is God's presence in the midst of all of that. It's in the presence of relationships. And as a priest, I can often think back very vividly to the funniest times in my life. And I tell the kids in the high school this. I tell the kids that are in school this. Okay, so why do people reflect so vividly? Why do people often spend so much time reflecting on their younger years? Why do they look back at high school with such fond emotion? Why do they look back at college with such fond emotion? You know, I can remember as a baseball player in college, conversations I had and my stomach literally hurting from laughter because of the guys I was living with, the things they said, the conversations we had. Just joy, just laughter, the presence there in the midst of that. I can't remember much else. I actually don't remember much about what I learned in high school. That may be a shock. I still don't know how to use a semicolon properly. Algebra, I'm lost. All of that is forgotten. Have a master's degree in theology. Have a bachelor's in philosophy. Have a bachelor's in business and marketing. I don't remember much about what I learned. But I'll tell you what I do remember. The people that were there and present that I shared those times with. Because we're created, like I said, for relationships. We are created for love. We are created for joy. And we remember those things and who we celebrate them with. I remember some of the most memorable practical jokes ever played. In case you didn't know this, a college baseball team, a major league baseball team as well, that locker room is the equivalent of 8-year-olds. What's funny to an 8-year-old is funny to a 22-year-old if you're in a locker room. The jokes, the practical jokes we played, the conversations we had, the bus rides we had, literally hurting from laughter. We remember that because, like I said, we are created for relationships. We are created for joy. And when you laugh with the people you love, it points to a deeper reality that God's presence is among us. That's why people, if you're a parent, you'll talk to your kids about the fun, the memorable times you had in school. Because you remember the relationships you had. And you hope your kids have those type of relationships. The joy you had, the fun you had, and the humor you had. The world is suffering very much so from lack of relationships. We're more connected than ever in the 21st century in 2018, but we're more disconnected from ever. I know a lot of people out here, you can remember the neighborhoods you grew up with, your neighbors. You knew who they were. You knew their names. You knew their stories. I do. Very much of the modern world does not have that. You don't know who lives next to you. You live your lives. They live their lives. We all live in separate bubbles, even though we're supposed to be more connected than ever. We don't have the relationships. We don't share the laughter that we used to. We don't share the joy we used to. And that's our mission as a church, is to bring that back again. Share the laughter that is in the world. There's a lot of anger in the world. And you know this as well as I do. I don't watch the news much. I don't watch the media much. Because quite frankly, it makes me sick to my stomach. All you have to do is just watch, turn on the nightly news. You're going to see how much the world tends to try to hate one another. And we're not that different. We all share this human experience. We all share what it means to be loved by God, and we need to bring that forth. One of the stories I often thought of, just growing up, like I said, in a very Protestant town. So, as you can imagine, when I said I was going to the seminary in 2010, that I was going to be a Catholic priest, a lot of my buddies went, "How hard up is the Catholic Church to find a priest?" Of course, they have known me my entire life. And I looked at them, I was like, yeah, we're pretty hard up right now, you know. They'll take anybody, you know. But as I got closer to ordination, I made a commitment to be a Catholic priest and celebrate God's presence among us. Of course, dressing like this in the heart of Bible Belt, Alabama, doesn't exactly endear you at times. So I remember sitting in my hometown, and a man I didn't know walks up to me, and he sees another priest who's now my pastor in Mobile. We're sitting there having a supper, and he walks up to us, minding our own business. He walks up to us and goes, "What's it like to be a part of the most corrupt organization on the planet?" And I looked over at my pastor, who was a friend, and I said, "I don't know where you heard that I was a U.S. senator." Right? But you got some bad information. And he couldn't help but smile. And I think, you know, at times in darkness, why I said finding God in humor is good for all of us. We should never take things so personally. We don't know where people are at. We don't know what's happened in their lives. We don't know what makes people bitter and angry, but trust me, as somebody that hears confessions, there's a lot of stuff in people's backgrounds. There's a lot of stuff in mine. There's probably a lot of stuff in yours. There's probably a lot of stuff in people's backgrounds that make people bitter and angry. Our challenge is to never lose the joy in the midst of those moments. Because true humor is love. It points to the deeper of reality that God is present, because it is out of love that we can truly save people. I'm talking true humor, not making fun of people in their failures. I'm talking ribbing people in all joking, in a joking manner. I'm talking of laughter in the midst of great darkness. One of my favorite authors of the 20th century, G.K. Chesterton, had the great quote, "Humor is used to disarm, to bring down people's defenses so truth can make itself known." People have to be open to truth, but they have to bring down the walls that they build first. For us to truly be evangelical witnesses of Jesus Christ, the joy that we should celebrate, that we should have, we have to get past people's walls that they build as a protection. I built walls back in the day. Many people build walls. People will not let you in. The gift of laughter, the gift of joy, is a way to say, put down your defense a little bit. Learn to laugh at yourself. Chesterton also said, it is the mark of a true religion. It is the mark of something that can stand the test of time, whether that religion can be joked about a little bit. As Catholics, we should be able to laugh a little bit about what it is we do. Not mock it, because it's the truth. But we should be able to laugh about, oh yeah, we're going to get together and we're going to have donuts again today, because that's what we do. We should be able to laugh about, yep, Catholics, we're going to get together, we're going to have a drink at the bar, because we're joyful people. That is what we do. We celebrate. And we gather together and we laugh. We laugh without fear. We laugh because we can truly have a presence of God amongst us. You know, I think this is a powerful moment just to reflect on what it is we do in Scripture as well, what we hear in Scripture. Christ tells us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 16, "I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Be wise as serpent and innocent as doves. What he's telling us is outsmart the world around us. Why the world is playing a game of bitterness and hatred and anger and jealousy, and you can't turn on anything without seeing people scream at each other, "My side is right, my side is right, my side is right." Attacks on the person. Christ is telling us, opt out of that game. Maintain your joy. Draw people to me through the gift that is joy. Draw people to me through the gift that is having a sense of humor about things. He says in John chapter 15, verses 8 through 11, "If you abide in Christ, you abide in joy. Your joy is complete." To be a disciple of Christ is to be joyful. And we are joyful. We can laugh. We cannot take things too seriously. There are times, of course, we have to be righteously angered about what happens around us. There are times that we have to stand up for the truth and not waver. But we do so in joy. We do so with a smile on our face. We know that Christ has redeemed this world, as Christ tells us. Have peace, for I have redeemed the world. As dark as things can get around us at times, we don't lose our joy. Learn to smile, learn to laugh, learn to take negativity with patience, and learn to take negativity with a smile. That don't let your joy be taken from you by a lot of darkness. If we do those things, we can be a powerful witness to the Lord. You know, I'll close with this. One of the things, it was kind of sad, but it was, I heard it after, when I was in seminary. I heard it from people that knew me growing up, and they said to me, you know, Chris, aren't you, and it's kind of embarrassing to say, Chris, aren't you like a little too outgoing to be a priest? I mean, aren't you kind of like, you got a pretty successful career. Why would you throw that away? You're making a lot of money. You got a beautiful girlfriend. And you know what? Why would you throw that away? You know, aren't you a little, like to have a little bit too much fun to be a priest? And we saw you out, you know, with your buddies having a drink at the bar. You know, aren't you a little too this to be a priest? Aren't you a little too that to be a priest? And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, these are Catholics, by the way. And I looked at them, and I was like, what the hell kind of priest do you people want? Yeah. Right? I was like, all I've heard growing up is you people complain about your priest. He's not available. He doesn't take his job seriously. He doesn't like to talk to people. You know, hey, heard you guys are hard up. Just got out of jail. And I always bring this back to vocations as well. Pray for young men, because nothing, they are being attacked more than ever. The world tells them this makes no sense for them to be a priest. They're going to throw it all away. If you see a talented young man, if you see a man who likes people, loves being around people, loves the sacraments, loves the church, encourage that young man. Very often, he's not getting it. If you have a son, trust me, I am so happy to be a priest. Encourage them. Have you thought about being a priest? You're not crazy. Encourage them. It's the most fulfilling life ever. You know why? Like I said, because I get to celebrate the presence of God amongst us. In concrete moments, every single day at the Mass, celebrating confessions, visiting hospitals, doing things like this, traveling to be with the people of God, celebrating. And I said, and I told Father Eric, I'm going to embarrass him a little bit. Why I enjoy coming up here, why I come to Our Lady of Perpetual Help, is because it's 2 years as a seminary and a deacon here. I really learned about the joy of priesthood because I lived with him. I lived with Father Adam Ahern, who was a classmate a year ahead of me, but I lived with him as well. People don't get to see the genuine joy and the humor we have on a daily basis, how we laughed so much, even last night, in the rectory together, watching football, just sharing times, spending time, celebrating that God is with us. Father Ahern and I was a deacon. Father Ahern was here as the associate, so we were sitting in one night. This man has a wicked sense of humor, by the way, in case you didn't know that. Right, Father? Father Ahern and I were sitting in the rectory one night. I'd just come up from St. Meinrad 3 years ago. And we were sitting there, and he goes, "Hey, it's time for the, you know, we got to do our fulfill our promises, pray the liturgy of the hours. Evening prayer is coming around." Father Ahern and I go, "Hey, it's time to pray evening prayer. Let's do that together." He's a pastor of a parish with a school. I understand the struggles that is with that now, because I have a parish with a school. That can be a nightmare at times. He comes in and goes, "So Father Eric, we're about to pray evening prayer. Would you like to join us?" Typical Father Eric fashion, looks right at us, deadpan, doesn't change his expression, just very matter-of-factly goes, "Absolutely not." "Why not, Father? I've been in the midst of principal battles, teacher battles, parent battles, student battles all day. I have a parish with a school. Therefore, God does not exist." "Which I've learned a little bit about in the last few years, Father. But he is a very prayerful man. I know he prays for y'all as a parish. Like I said, great sense of humor. And I learned so much just in the interactions with people on a daily basis. That we can laugh together, we cry together, we celebrate together, we suffer together. But in the end, God is with us in all of these things. Don't lose track of where God is in your daily life. Look for him in the interactions you have every single day, in your families, in your workforce, in your interactions with your neighbor. When you laugh, understand why it is you're laughing. Understand why it is you smile, because the presence of God is truly being manifested in those moments. And that's what he wants us. In those moments, recognizing that he is truly present among us. Let us always give thanks to God that he is with us on the journey.